And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton. Anastasia Higginbotham writes and illustrates books for children, and she's not afraid to tackle difficult subjects. Her previous books help parents talk to their kids about death, divorce, and sex. Her latest book is called Not My Idea, A Book About Whiteness. Higginbotham wrote it in light of news reports about shootings of unarmed black men and boys. Ashley Thornburg caught up with her at a recent book signing event.
Anastasia, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me.
Can I have you start with reading the first few pages of this book?
When grown-ups try to hide scary things from kids. Oh, no, not again. What? Mom, what not again? It's usually because they're scared, too. Who is that with their hands up? Why is that policeman screaming at him? Bang, 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 bang. They want to bury the truth. You don't need to worry about this, says Mom. You're safe. Understand? And the child's thoughts say, no.
Not a lot of kids' books ask that question of a kid, do you understand?
Well, no, and not a lot of kids' books show the moments when the parent and the child are not exactly communicating very well with each other.
In the introduction that your publisher gave you, Jennifer Baumgartner from Daughter Press, she called this a radical children's book, and that really struck me because it's a book where we are telling the truth. So just to think of telling the truth to kids as a radical concept, how does that sit with you?
It sits, well, you know, the alternative does not sit well with me. I didn't like being lied to as a child. I often knew I was being lied to, that things were being covered over or made pretty for me or made softer for me or hidden from me. I've never appreciated it, and so out of respect and love for children, I make a point to tell them the truth. And as an artist and as an author, I hold myself to a standard where telling the truth, you know, it doesn't come immediately. I have to dig down even to get to it myself, to understand what the truth is and to find a way to say it that a child can understand and feel respected and possibly feel very challenged.
Well, it is not an easy topic to talk about, even amongst adults. How did you even go about starting to write a book about racism, especially for white children?
As difficult it is as it may seem to talk about it, and as daunting as that may feel if you haven't talked about it yet, I find that the experience of not talking about it, not addressing it, knowing that racism is happening, knowing that people are experiencing that being targeted, being over-policed, being kept in prisons and sentenced longer sentences, harsher sentences, knowing that this is going on for my fellow human beings is intolerable to me. So talking about race is a relief. Talking about my whiteness, talking about my role in perpetuating white supremacy, and making connections with other people so that we can understand it, understand our role, and be aware and bring the racism that exists in us, because we just breathe it in. The culture conditions us into it. But the more conscious we can be, the more conscious our choices are. And then we can actually begin to undo, in some ways, what should never have been done.
Why did you want to call the book Not My Idea, a book about whiteness?
I wanted to acknowledge the defensiveness that comes up in us when we are called upon to look at our own whiteness and look at our role in perpetuating racism. When it wasn't our idea, my own children are born into a system that is violent and unjust. It's built into everything. Even though it was not their idea, it is their responsibility, just as it is my responsibility, to unravel and untangle and reckon with the systems that are favoring us economically, socially, all of the things that affect my daily experience of being a white person moving through the world, being a person who is seen as white, even though these categories are fake, right? I'm not white like a piece of paper white, and just as black people are not black like a piece of paper that's black. And yet we're working with these categories because even though it's fake and it's a structure that's human-made, a human-made hierarchy that is used to profit, the consequences of it are real. So even though this idea that whites are superior is false, the consequences are real and deadly, and it has passed down generationally. It is accepted passively, and so by calling it not my idea, I start from that place of defensiveness, that slightly defensiveness, but also just, it's not my idea. Okay, so what is your idea? That's what I want to know. And I want children to be able to have that moment of being incredulous about racism. It's a terrible idea. And if you explain racism to a child, how it works, who it favors, who it targets, who it harms and in what particular ways and for how long, it is a horrendous idea. It's not an idea that any child would ever come up with on their own, like, hey, I have a great system for us. I also want to acknowledge a child's sense of, like, who the hell came up with this? You know, so that's not my idea. And then, yes, get as quickly as possible to, okay, good, what is your idea?
We have a 400-year legacy of racist policies, racist attitude, and violence in this country. Why did you set this book in the present?
I set this book in the present because the American narrative, it's willing to accept that civil rights, the civil rights movement happened, right? But it's frozen in these black and white images, these bits of film and little snippets of speeches, like the nice parts of the speeches and the parts that make us feel good about ourselves, make us feel good about Martin Luther King, who was hated at the time by so many people. And so we've got this idea of an acceptable civil rights movement that has been frozen in the past as if it got done. It didn't get done. And so many of the people from that time were assassinated. I mean, the leaders of that time were brutalized and murdered. And the reason I set it in the current time frame is because it never stopped. It never stopped. The narrative pretended that it got done. And look at all that progress that African Americans have made. You know, have you ever heard Chris Rock talk about this idea of, like, he hates that it's framed as African Americans have progressed? He's like, we didn't progress. That like assumes that it was never our problem. This is the nicest that white people have ever been to us. I appreciate that so much because it's not the African American struggle. It's white people who are struggling with our own inferiority complex.
The imagery in the book is very powerful, and you do collage work and drawing to make the illustrations that go along with this. And there's one section where people are watching this family speak out on TV after a shooting, mm-hmm. and the mom and dad want to change the channel or are complaining about something that really is not the point of the issue, like they're blocking the streets. And the two kids, so presumably the sibling of the child who was shot and then the white child in the center of the book, are looking at each other. Mm-hmm. Just talk about the power, that knowledge that kids have and that ability to connect with other kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's happening in that scene, I used an image from the Alton Sterling press conference after Alton Sterling, a father, was murdered in Baton Rouge. And his child was standing next to his mother while she gave a statement. And he broke down and he hid behind his shirt because he was you know, in addition to the trauma of his father having been murdered, now it's in public. He has to grieve in public. I wanted to depict that moment of a child so overwhelmed, no privacy to grieve, and someone who has been so wronged, and the child, the white child who's watching the child on TV, really tuned in to that child. And I think that's just the child's humanity is intact. That is a child who's just feeling empathy, just seeing another child in pain and wondering what happened to him. What did they do? What did he lose?
This book, and again, it's called Not My Idea, a book about whiteness. Other books in the Ordinary Terrible Things series are Let's Talk About Sex, Grandma, Divorce is the Worst, and Death is Stupid. And I noticed that those first three books, all published by Feminist Press, this one has a new publisher in Daughter Press. Usually, if someone has an established relationship with a publisher, that book's going to get picked up by a publisher. What happened?
Well, what happened there was Jennifer was my publisher and my champion for the series at the Feminist Press. And when she left the press, there wasn't anyone immediately taking over the position when she left. There just was a slight gap in time. It wasn't the right time for the book about whiteness to come out through the Feminist Press. And really, in another aspect of it is that Jennifer and I knew we still wanted to work together. I really didn't want to lose her leadership on this series. And the way that she understands what I'm working with, the way that she trusts me, and the way that she edits me to get the best work and to get the story to be told with as much impact as it could possibly have. The Feminist Press was experiencing a transition in leadership, and I was going to do the book no matter what. And Jennifer was willing to continue to work with me, even if it meant, well, I'm going to start my own press then. Really grateful we could keep it going.
Why do you kneel when you read this book in public?
I kneel because it feels right. I am very moved by what Colin Kaepernick. I don't care about sports at all, and I don't like football at all, and I don't like the NFL. That's true. Okay, all those things are true. But I am very moved by the players. Not only Colin Kaepernick, but he was the first, but any of the players who take a knee during the national anthem. It is a knee for justice. It is a knee for honoring the ancestors. I mean, I see him taking a knee for so many generations of violence and strife and unnecessary, unendurable, unbearable pain. And there should be acknowledgement. The fact that he takes a knee, if that draws everybody's attention, that's wonderful. It should. If he says, I'm taking a knee because of police brutality, I want to take a knee with him. I want to take responsibility for that. And I kneel to read the book out of humility. I want to be as close as possible to the ground of America's making, because that's where the truth is buried, that's where the treasures are buried, and that's where the bodies are buried. I want to get low and close to what's real in this country. And kneeling next to a cardboard picture of Colin Kaepernick that I made allows me something physical to do, to align with Black liberation completely with my body and my soul.
In communication, there's the message sent and then there's the message received, and sometimes those don't align. And you shared this almost heartbreaking story of your son's reaction to the book where he said, okay, so we're the wrong color, or we're the bad color, but we're good people, and you and your kids are white, and this book is not saying that white kids are bad kids. Mm-hmm. This book is talking about how you can stand up to a bad system, but how do you make sure that kids don't internalize that the wrong way?
I don't have control over how it's received exactly. My son said, we're the bad color, but we're not bad people, right? And I said, well, that depends on what we do with what we know. And I really believe that. It's not, you're not good just because you showed up. And being good is not the point. And being told that we're good is not the point. I don't feel good about what's happening in this country or what has ever happened in this country and been made excuses for or condoned in some way or the just hidden from the public sight. So, you know, there's all this, like, white children are taught to look away and black and brown children are taught to, like, look sharp, pay attention. Think about the signals you're sending off, you know, and it's just, it's not ever been fair. So the idea of good, there's a moment in the book where the child says, I don't feel good. And they are talking about like nausea and grief that comes with the trauma of confronting a traumatic past. The child has been reading history, and I find reading history extremely traumatic because if you engage with the truth of it at all, it's very, very upsetting. We need each other to be able to talk about these things. And so the child saying, I don't feel good, and it's a feeling in their body, but it's also about, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good in this. How could I possibly feel good in this? I think that feeling is one to follow. I don't feel good about this. It's because it's rotten. That doesn't mean that America is rotten. It doesn't mean that white people are rotten, but it does. When there's something rotten, you have to address it. If there's something stinking in your refrigerator and growing and decaying, you have to address it. If there's an injury in your family, if there's a member of your family that is hurting and injured and asking to be believed about the injury, just to be believed, and you refuse to believe it, and you look away and you say, that's not really happening to you. I mean, that's not how you treat a family member who you care for. And if you continue to have denial toward that family member, the family is ripped apart. The family can never be. And the injury cannot heal. So the only way is to look at the injury together. There is so much grace and riches and surviving and thriving and spiritual well-being and nurturing that is happening in the communities of black and brown people and black families and brown families. And white people have yet to do that with each other, be honest in our families and be allies to one another in confronting racial justice and confronting our racialized experiences and confronting and taking on our responsibility as people who are part of a white supremacy, who are being favored by a white supremacy, who did not choose it but have a responsibility to address it.
The book ends with, your history's not all written yet. What do you want it to say? Where do you want children to go with this question?
Inward. I want them to take that question very much to heart. And how they live their lives every day. It's an offering to be a child and have someone ask you, what do you want your history to be? It's a nice jumping off place for the first day of the rest of your life. It's an invitation to make choices and to be conscious about what your life is. And children can do that. They love to do that. Children love responsibility. They don't necessarily want to like sort the laundry and do the chores of the house, but like responsibility for being part of something that has meaning and purpose and is connected to justice and healing society, I think, you know, we're going to find a lot of children are into that.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
That was Anastasia Higginbotham, author and illustrator of the Ordinary Terrible Things series, talking about her latest book, Not My Idea, a book about whiteness. Other books include Divorce is the Worst, Death is Stupid, and Let's Talk About Sex, Grandma. You can get the books at AnastasiaHigginbotham.com and at some independent bookstores.